The federal budget, the May budget, is just 3 weeks away and the Turnbull government has a lot riding on it. The word is it will be a budget with plenty of spending promises, tax cuts, investment in infrastructure. Paul Bongiorno is in our Parliament House studios. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
In other words, a pretty typical pre-election budget coming up, Paul. The acting Prime Minister, Michael McCormick, he's the National Party leader and this is his first day as acting Prime Minister. He's already labelled Scott Morrison Santa Claus and is promising an unprecedented pre-election budget full of goodies. Is that wise?
Well, I suppose the first thing that occurs is where's the money coming from? We do know that the Prime Minister and the Treasurer say that we're on track to come back into budget surplus in 2021, which of course is beyond the election. And as we know, Treasurers and Prime Ministers have been forecasting a return to budget surplus more or less every year for the last 10 years. So,
and as Michael Keating told us earlier, that the projections, longer projections, are that we then go out of budget, into deficit again quite significantly in a few decades' time.
Well, yes, I heard your interview with Michael Keating and that analysis should start some amber lights flashing, it seems to me. And it does seem to me that the argument that if we want to have all these things, if we do need more infrastructure and spending on health, education, we're going to have to pay for it. And we pay for it by taking a harder line on billions of dollars worth of tax concessions and here and there raising some taxes. 1% of GDP over 10 years is not huge, but according to Michael Keating and the analysis by the Australia Institute, it would go a long way to pay for what we need.
Doesn't look like we'll get any sense of that, though, in this election budget. I mean, you wouldn't call that a Santa Claus budget if people
you certainly wouldn't.
Infrastructure is
but
shaping.
But people have got to believe what you're promising, and one of the problems with infrastructure is it can't just happen overnight.
Well, talk about this. Michael McCormick says that there's going to be a bigger investment in nation-building projects in this budget, projects like road and rail, bigger even than the $75 billion we saw spent in this area on the last budget. Bill Shorten's currently out and about announcing billions of dollars for rail links. Why are the parties throwing money at big infrastructure projects? Is it about jobs or is it about pressure around immigration numbers?
Well, I think it's both. I think both the major political parties have woken up to the fact that with the booming population, which analysis today in The Australian shows is actually good, migration drives the economy, drives growth, but we need to plan for it. And we've been remiss. That's why we've got congestion. And that's why there's a lot of pushback from the public, against immigration. Of course, you've got Tony Abbott out there with the simplistic solution that if you cut migration, well, most of your problems are solved. We know that is not the case.
But there's and more people getting onto this notion of slowing down migration, maybe winding it back a bit to take the pressure off the roads and the rail links and the housing until more is built.
Well, that's right. I mean, there's always tweaking out there, whether it's cut by 20,000, 30,000 or whatever. In a sense, that shouldn't be controversial. One thinks that what plays into that discussion is not so much infrastructure as racism as well and the fears that people have of foreigners.
Paul, we're talking about Michael Keating and his interview this morning and his position and the Australia Institute's argument that we need more tax, not less tax. The federal government desperately wants the Senate to agree to its plan to cut the corporate tax rate from 30% to 25%. They got close, but no cigar just before the Parliament rose until budget week. One of the key crossbenchers involved in this vote is Darren Hinch. He's a stumbling block for the government so far. He's now suggesting he might be willing to do a deal with the government in exchange for banning live animal exports. So not horse trading, but sheep trading.
Well, I think in one real sense he's on a winner there. I think the public are absolutely appalled by what we see almost on a regular basis now, the cruelty to animals where basically the mighty dollar is put in front of any real concern for humanity or humaneness, rather. So whether that horse trade or sheep trade comes off is debatable. Even if they do get Darren Hinch, they still need another vote unless they can crack somewhere else on the crossbench. There's a suggestion that the Nick Xenophon team, the Centre Alliance, is talking again with Matthias Cormann, the finance minister.
Darren Hinch implied that he'd already been talking to the government about a compromise of giving a tax cut to businesses under $500 million, which would cut out the major big corporations, the major banks, for instance.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that Hinch is taking this line. Of course, it puts him in the limelight, but Labor has promised whatever gets through above what's already there will be repealed. They say that there isn't support in the community for giving the big end, the multinationals, huge tax cuts, while at the same time squeezing health, education, family payments and welfare.
Paul Bongiorno, thank you very much.
Thank you, Fran. Goodbye.
Paul Bongiorno is a columnist with the Saturday paper.